I am Jen Brown along with Bruce McGregor. Thank you for spending 2 hours plus with us on Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. And we get to talk with the Dynamic Deacon on a regular basis during the Good Book Club. But during this month, the month that we herald and the month that we celebrate Black Catholics, we thought we would chat with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers about Black Catholics and Black Catholic History Month. And some of the saints that he appreciates and the importance of this month to him. I think we'll ask him the importance of this month to him as well. We'll talk with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers next.
Help others encounter Jesus. Tell a friend about Spirit Catholic Radio.
Known around the world as Dynamic Deacon, a sought-after speaker, one of the largest in our church today, a very passionate evangelist and preacher. Deacon Harold, a hearty good morning to you. And I just thought I'd catch your take on November and Black Catholic History Month, because it hasn't been very long that we've had Black Catholic History Month in the history of the Catholic Church. And I just wanted to know, as a Black Catholic, what you thought and felt about it, the pride that it brings you that we get to celebrate these amazing saints in the spotlight this month.
Well, good morning. It's
good morning.
Great to be with you guys, as always. You know, to be honest with you, I kind of have mixed feelings about it. I kind of agree with Morgan Freeman. You know, I don't necessarily want my history regulated to a month. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, we should be celebrating saints of color all the time. I mean, you know, because there's no Irish Catholic History Month. There's no German History Month. There's no Hispanic History Month. There's no Asian history. I mean, you know, so I mean, I appreciate very, very much appreciate the fact that attention are being drawn to a group of people that often may be overlooked and neglected. And I very much appreciate that. So it's good in that sense that attention is being drawn to this. But then what happens next month? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's a very good point, Deacon Harold, because as I was looking at the Black Catholic Congress, which you can explain what that is, but as I was looking at that website and I'm taking a look at all these saints that are very important, one, to Black Catholic history, maybe not a person of color, but they're important to Black Catholic history, or individuals that are on their way to their journey to sainthood that are important Black Catholics. I'm like, we talk about these individuals all year long. Like, we talk about them and their importance to the overall arcing of the whole of the church. Like, some of them are my favorite saints, and I learned about them well before they were spotlighted in the month of November.
No, absolutely. And people, you know, like, for example, St. Benedict the Moor, wonderful saint. With strong devotion to the child Jesus. So a lot of people say, who is that? I don't think I've ever heard of him. I mean, they've heard of St. Benedict of Nursia, right? Nursia, Italy, who's the founder of the Benedictines, but not St. Benedict the Moor. So when we draw attention to someone like that, you know, I think that's a good thing. Of course, some people have heard of St. Josephine Bakita, you know?
Yeah.
And St. Peter Claver and St. Catherine Drexel, and St. Martin de Porres, very popular Dominican saint from Peru. And then, again, there are others like St. Felicity and Perpetua. You know, they were Africans, you know. And so this is a wonderful way to draw attention, to bring the fact that the church is universal. You know, sometimes we go to our mass. You know, I'm a 10 o'clocker, I'm an 11 o'clocker, and we sit in our pew and we just, you know, we experience Christ's word and sacrament, then we go back to our normal lives. We don't even necessarily think about, how deeply and rich and universal the church actually is. And to be honest with you, I didn't really have a great appreciation for that until I started traveling internationally. And I started seeing the way people of color from around the world, Catholics, you know, and the incredible devotion that they have to the church. And I know for myself, in seventh grade, that's when we had confirmation. I grew up in the Archdiocese of Newark in New Jersey. And so they were going through a list of saints. And I remember thinking to myself in seventh grade, wow, those saints are amazing. But I wonder if there's any of them that look like me. And so I went to, and you guys, I'm sure remember this, guys, a library where they had
books. Yeah. Yes, they had books. They had Dewey Decimal System, all that. Yeah.
And so in looking for a saint of color, that's when I accidentally came across a book by Sister Carolyn Hemesath on Father Augustus Tolton. It's called From Slave to Priest. I said, wow, I've never heard of this guy before. And so I pulled the book off the shelf, was looking through it. I couldn't use him because he's not a saint, you know, for confirmation. But I said, wow, this guy seems really interesting. And I put the book back on the shelf and I kept going. And it was later when Ignatius Press bought the rights to that book that I found so many years earlier and reprinted the book and asked me to write the new foreword to the book that I really got a chance to know Augustus Tolton. And then again, and then from him, all the other amazing saints and soon to be, hopefully, soon to be saints of color.
So that was seventh grade. That's some powerful stuff. So seventh grade, you first read that very first title about him, Father Augustus Tolton, and now he's venerable. I believe he's venerable, Augustus Tolton. Tell us a little bit more about the life of this wonderful man, preacher, priest, first American, a black priest in America. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's the first black priest in America. He was born a slave in 1854. And his father escaped through the Civil War to fight the Civil War and died early in the war. And his mother subsequently escaped through the Underground Railroad to Quincy, Illinois, with Augustus and his brother and sister. And then they experienced persecution. They were Catholics. And when they got to Illinois, you know, there were several churches they went to that they were not allowed to worship there until they got to the Irish church. And the pastor there said, no, I don't care what these people say. You're staying. You know, and he saw something in the young Augustus Tolton and helped him on his journey toward the priesthood. Although he was rejected from every seminary in the United States, the Vatican took him and trained him to be a priest and sent him back to the United States. In fact, back to the town that he grew up in, Quincy, Illinois, to serve as a priest. And he eventually made his way to Chicago and died in 1897 at 43 years of age. So
he was a wonderful preacher, and he used to fill the house. And one of the things that also happened in his life, well, later, one of the things that happened is a play. They wrote a play that travels now the United States about his life.
And I've seen that play twice now. And it's interesting. The actor that portrays Augustus Tolton does an absolutely amazing job, but he's not Catholic.
Yeah,
and that's what's the story. But he loves the story.
Not yet.
And not yet. Right? Not yet. But if you have an opportunity to see that play, if it comes into your town, definitely go and see it. I've seen it twice now, and knowing the story of Augustus Tolton as well as I do, it really moved me to just kind of see him come to life in that beautiful presentation.
Yeah. Yeah, and Deacon, he was a beacon of hope, as you point out, to black Catholics in the 19th century, many of which were trying to find a home in the American church. And Father Tolton, really a visionary, kind of saw beyond race and politics, as you pointed out, teaching that the Catholic Church wants to free us not just from slavery, but from slavery to sin. And he preached just beautifully on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And he had many people of all different races attend his mass. I think at first they went because he was a curiosity. Ooh, we've never seen a black priest before. But then they stayed because of his preaching and the beautiful way he celebrated mass and the outreach he did to the community. He just drew people in because the beauty of truth attracts. And that's what happened. But the problem was that the white people that attended his parish, the other priest said, you know, you shouldn't go to his church. His church is only for people of color. You need to go back to the white church, because if you go to his church, it doesn't count for your Sunday obligation.
Wow.
So it was just horrible things. The racism within the church. Interesting. All of the popes spoke out against slavery. In fact, they excommunicated anyone who owned slaves. But it's almost like the American church kind of ignored all that. They said, oh, well, the Vatican, they don't understand our culture. They don't understand the way things are here. And so we have many Catholics that own slaves. In fact, When Augustus Tolton was born, on his baptismal certificate, it says Augustus John Tolton, property of Stephen Elliott. Wow. On his baptismal certificate, his Catholic baptismal certificate. So, you know, we can't ignore the teachings. We can't separate our faith from our everyday life. You know, our faith has to really come from the inside out. When we receive Jesus' word as sacrament, we have to go forward to make the reality of Christ present in the world, which means we have to be countercultural. And I think that's what made these amazing saints and those on the road to sainthood so great, is that they were able to transcend culture to bring the beauty of truth, of and love of Christ to people in their lives.
We're talking about the journey of individuals, of Black Catholics, and their journey to sainthood, and a couple of other ones, Pierre Toussaint and Thea Bowman. Would you like to talk about any of them?
Yeah, Pierre Toussaint was very interesting, actually. He was a very successful hairdresser.
Yeah.
Well, and surgeon, because barbers were surgeons back in that day. That was that time frame, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. And and he used to have, I mean, the aristocracy, the people with wealth and influence would come to him because he did such an amazing job with their hair. And, you know, he actually got a pretty good sizable salary and spent really a lifelong mission of charitable service. And with his wealth, he purchased his sister's freedom. And he and his wife spent a lot of their time and energy helping the poor and the needy in New York. And, you know, he was just an incredibly generous person. Went to Mass every day. For 60 years, a daily Mass goer, was his entire life at New York's first parish, which is St. Peter's. And he died in 1854. And in fact, he's one of the very few people who is not a bishop or a cardinal whose body is kept in St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City.
Yeah. Remarkable. And he's a venerable as well. And yeah, like you said, quite the study, Deacon, and just a very, very powerful person, and a real testament to being a daily Mass goer as well. We need to kind of keep that in mind, that a lot of people who are undergoing the most persecution seem to be those whose faith is the deepest.
That's a great point, and I see that actually when I travel. People often say, well, what country really impressed you the most? Which, you know, it's countries like Malaysia. In Indonesia, where there's persecution of the faith. And I found in those countries that, as you so beautifully pointed out, that when there's persecution of the faith, that's when the faith is mostly alive. That's when, because the people know that it's worth fighting for, it's worth struggling for. And that's what I think makes these venerables, these servants of God's, so great. I mean, Pierre Toussaint, Augustus Tolton transcended what was going on during their days. And same thing with Mother Henriette de Leo. And even in our day, the most modern one, obviously, is Sister Thea Bowman, who addressed the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. So, I mean, I think these people can be, you know, examples and witnesses to us, and not make excuses for not overcoming challenges in order to glorify God.
Right.
And that was the beautiful thing. I mean, they didn't make excuses. Oh, we can't do this because we're oppressed. Or we can't do this because of the culture. They didn't make excuses. They just did what God called them to do. They used their gifts to honor and to glorify God. And I think we can all follow their example and do the same thing in our time today.
Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. Jen Brown, Bruce McGregor, and you. We're talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, is known as the Dynamic Deacon, and we're talking November, Black Catholic History Month, bringing to light Catholics that are on their journey to sainthood. Deacon Harold, we talked a little bit about the Black Catholic Conference in the beginning, and I think this is something that actually is very important for people to know and understand what the Black Catholic Conference is, Black Catholic Congress is, and they do have a conference. But what is it, and what is the gathering? It is a very important group of individuals that are growing, getting bigger, and learning and understanding their faith in a beautiful way, and then sharing it with more people. Just like you were saying, individuals need to say, hey, we love Jesus, and we want to share it with people, and we want to overcome any obstacle in our way. How is the Congress, and what does that exactly mean? It has nothing to do with the government. What does that exactly mean, Deacon Harold?
Yeah, so actually at the time that Father Augustus Tolton was alive, a Black Catholic layperson named Daniel Rudd founded the National Black Catholic Congress as a way of bringing Black Catholics together. Now that many Catholics, particularly in the North, Black Catholics were free from slavery, he wanted to bring the Black Catholics together in a powerful way. So he started the National Black Catholic Congress, which is basically just a gathering of Black Catholics to come together and to, in solidarity and in faith and in love, to just have some community. Because of course there was segregation, all that stuff back then. And so I said, well, look, let's just come together. And Augustus Tolton, actually one of the few things that we have in writing that's actually recorded that he actually said, he gave an address at that very first National Black Catholic Congress. And so now the Congress happens every 5 years now. And I've had the honor and privilege of speaking at the National Black Catholic Congress in the past. And it's just a wonderful way to come together, you know, kind of recharge, to remember, you know, our roots, remember where we came from, remember the struggles that we came through, but then also to use our gifts and talents to enrich the entire church. And the current executive director, Valerie Washington, has been a friend of mine for many, many years. She's been on EWTN. In fact, EWTN has even started airing some of the National Black Catholic Congress events, on the network. So it's a great organization, again, bringing awareness to Black Catholics and our gifts that we bring to the entire church.
Well, you're a gift as well, Deacon, and thank you so much for being so very generous with your time. Could we ask you to impart a diaconal blessing for our day?
Sure. May the Lord bless you and keep you and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers today sharing with us information about Black Catholics on the journey to sainthood on the month that we celebrate, Black Catholic History Month. It's Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network.